Yeah, that's a this is a perfect example of having certain fights marinate and wait for the right moment and not wait too long. Like you, perfect example you made. Another one, it was Mayweather against Pacquiao. This Crawford against Terrence Crawford against Errol Spence. I mean, these fights that are waiting too long to happen. I mean, it's just sad. You know, it sucks because you know they're not gonna fight each other at their prime, at their moment. And this is it, man. This is the fight that, you know, it's just right. I mean, from every angle, it's just perfect.
Welcome to the RBR recap presented by Round by Round Boxing. I'm Alex Burgos, joined by three-time world champion, Showtime's main man, and one of our favorites, Abner Mares. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good, brother. Thank you so much for having
Good,
me on.
good. Yeah, man. I'm glad. Glad it's fight week. You know, a long time coming for David Benavidez and Caleb Plant. Super excited about this fight, and I just want to jump right into it, man, and talk to you a little bit about something you said in the past and something that kind of resonated with me and going back and kind of digging up old stuff about this fight. And you said at one point, it's like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that this was the fight to make for fight fanatics. And one thing I like to kind of break down and look at is sometimes we get fights. And one that always comes to mind for me is like Gamboa and Juan Manuel Lopez back in the day, that Bob Arum was always like, we're going to let it marinate, marinate, marinate. She marinated too much. And then it just never happened. This one, I think, marinated enough, the bad blood boiled, and now we're here. It's super exciting. Do you think allowing this thing to kind of progressively get hotter and hotter has made it a bigger fight and a bigger profile?
Yeah, this is a perfect example of having certain fights marinate and wait for the right moment and not wait too long. Like you, perfect example you made. Another one, it was Mayweather against Pacquiao. This Crawford against Terrence Crawford against Errol Spence. I mean, these fights that are waiting too long to happen. I mean, it's just sad. You know, it sucks because you know they're not gonna fight each other at their prime, at their moment. And this is it, man. This is the fight that you know it's just right. I mean, from every angle, it's just perfect. I mean, aside from you know that both fighters stylistically match up, the bad blood between them too. You know, the trash talking, a lot of just. Personal issues between them too that make this fight just that much more exciting. So yeah, I mean, there's many reasons to be excited about this fight, of course.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think this is one good example. And I think also a good example, you know, for maybe some of the fighters up and coming, it's like Caleb Plant, you could take a loss and then you can still come back and do big things. You can prove that, you know, you have new wrinkles to your game like he did in a big way against Anthony Durrell. So it shows a lot of different kind of levels of boxing that I think people should pay attention to. Now, moving more towards the style of the fight and, you know, the age-old adage, styles make fights and all that good stuff. I think a lot of the breakdowns I've seen, and it may be just this easy, but a lot of the breakdowns are just like Benavidez is going to walk him down or Caleb Plant is going to be able to outbox him. Do you see that, or do we need to dig a little bit deeper, like how this fight might go?
I mean, yeah, I think we got to dig a little bit, a lot more deeper. I mean, because you know, you got to understand that us fighters, we ain't dumb. You know, we ain't stupid. We know exactly what we're gonna face. So you hear, you read exactly, you know, how fight fans are basically digesting and particularly, you know, putting this fight as you just mentioned. You know, this fight's either gonna be the boxer, the jab, the great movement from Caleb Plant, or the stronger guy, you know, the Mexican monster like Dave Benavidez is. But if I'm Caleb Plant and I'm listening, I'm like, obviously I'm gonna have a game plan for that, you know, like vice versa as David Benavidez. Actually, I heard in the recent interview about Davis saying that, hey, I'm not just gonna look for one punch. I'm actually gonna do a different type of fight. So you don't know what to expect. Obviously, we could just, you know, assume that that's what can happen. I mean, looking at this fight from the outside, I mean, it's either the strong, big puncher like Benavidez walking this guy down, or the finesse boxer like Caleb Plant is. But listen, one thing that I have to point out is that, and this my guy, I like, you know, and I'm not biased, and David Benavidez is a great friend of mine, good fighter. But man, he's got to keep his hands up. You know, he brings his hands down a lot. Yes, he's a monster. He can walk you down. But hey, you make one mistake. We saw what happened with Durrell. Anthony Doral in that fight. One mistake, one hook. That's all it took. You know, Caleb Plant has got that power. So it's not as easy as people, you know, paint it to be. Some people would be like, yeah, yeah, easy fight for David. Maybe it's just walk him down. Nah, this is more than that. And same thing with Caleb Plant. You know, he's got to be careful with the heavy shots that, you know, Dave Benavidez is going to be looking for. And we know that Caleb Plant is capable of doing that early on. We saw it against Canelo Alvarez. You know, he was moving around really good. Great jab. But, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of boxing. You just don't know what to expect nowadays, especially with so much technology now, doing your homework, you know, strength conditioning. I mean, these guys are in top shape right now, both physically and I'm sure mentally, because it's a lot of mental game coming into this fight, because there was so much said, you know, leading up to this fight from both sides.
Yeah, for sure. You said a lot of good things there, and I agree as well. I mean, I think we're going to have to see some new wrinkles from Benavidez. Yeah. Does the defense tighten up? Probably from Caleb Plant also. Yeah, we got the one knockout, the big one against Doral, but can he, you know, show that against now a step above in competition? And I think you make a good point. Make him miss, make him pay. We've seen Caleb over time make him miss a lot. But if he's going to start sitting down in his punches and look, and, you know, even talking to Breadman a little bit, you know, Caleb can crack, and he may show it more in training than he has in actual fights. But now working with Breadman, we may see a little bit more of that, staying in the pocket.
And you got to wait for the right time, too. I think Caleb Plant did it perfectly with Doral. Yeah. I mean, he waited towards the later rounds where the power is not as heavy, as powerful. And, you know, he sat down on those punches and, you know, we saw what happened.
Yeah, and frustrated Doral, you know, for that first half of that fight where maybe got him, lulled him to sleep a little bit. It was like, oh, I'm coming right at you. I want to knock you out. Caught him with his hands down. Good night.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you say. Yeah, with Benavidez, I mean, he does have to tighten it up a little bit, because he's so offensive minded. And, you know, a lot of times that puts mental pressure on the fighter, you know, trying to get a guy off of you exerts you physically as well. So something interesting to watch there. I got to give a shout out. I know Tyson gave him the Mexican Monster, nickname, but his mom is from Ecuador too. So shout out to Ecuador too. Yeah, you right. have a little bit in the power department, I guess. We got to give you props too. but yeah, I want to transition also into some of what you've done in your career. And, you know, I always think, you know, obviously the early stuff, the Agbeko fights, and just a big fan of yours, and the Leo fights obviously was a rivalry, and you know, fan friendly and stuff like that. But I remember reading something, I believe it was after the second one, the second Leo fight, but where you know, were banking those early rounds. And I think your corner was like, we don't want you to fight that way. But it seemed like you were winning that fight, and then you changed styles. Do you think a fighter has to have that in their ability to be able to make a decision and be like, hey, this is maybe not what I planned, but it's working, and continue to go with that and be able to adjust in a fight, kind of applying it to this one.
100%. I mean, the mental game is everything. I mean, you get the emotions, get the best of you. And I think that's what happened to me in that first fight. I got like, I was so like wanted the fight so bad. I went in there like banging so hard the first couple of rounds. I exhausted myself physically and mentally. And then that's what I talk about. And I am going to talk about it, you know, in the opening of the card, is that, you know, when you come in to a fight physically, constant, so take it so personal, you know, you just want to beat this guy so bad, like, you know, like Benavidez says, like, oh, I'm gonna take this, you know, send this guy to hospital, and like so much anger that exhausts you, you know, that tires you out, you know. And it's people you don't realize sometimes until you're inside of the ring. I'm like, shoot, why am I getting tired? I train like super hard for this, many months of training camp, and I'm getting tired, I'm draining myself. But that's the physical, I mean the mental part, where you just too much, you're focused too much on the mental stage, that you're trying to throw punches and you just don't hit. And I think that's what happened to me with when I fought Leo Santa Cruz. I just tightened up too much. And when my coach did tell me start boxing, I did try to do it, but you know, it just didn't work out. My punches weren't as long as, I mean, we know that Leo Santa Cruz, you know, had that reach. So, you know, and then when I tried to get back into the fight that I had started and was doing good in, it was already too late, you know. So things like that. I think that Dave Benavidez just has to be aware of that, not to be forget about everything that was said prior to his fight, and just focus on the plan and just execute exactly that inside the ring once the bell rings.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles those emotions, because obviously he wants to try to back up. You know, he says he's not going to be happy unless he knocks him out. But he's got to be ready and willing to be able to win a fight, you know, even if it's by decision. So a lot on the line for both guys. But I also want to talk about you as a broadcaster. And we got to chop it up with Raul Marquez not too long ago. And, you know, I was telling him the same thing. You know, it's not lost on me, you know, being Latino and then also, you know, in communications and broadcasting and journalism and stuff, to see you guys, high-level fighters, you know, at the top of your games and then transition and do this broadcasting thing so well. It's incredible to see. So kudos to you, man. And
thank you. You
inspire people to be able to do multiple things and at a high level. But I want you to touch on the type of preparation, because obviously, you know, from a fighter perspective, what it takes to get in the ring and be a champion. But it's a lot of preparation, right? To come prepared for like a fight card. Colbert and Rayo. You got other big fights.
I got like four fights.
Talk about that.
So, yeah, I do want to talk about it. You know, and I when I do find the chance, when people ask me and tell me, hey, yo, champ, it's probably so easy for you because, you know, you practice a sport and, you know, it's the perfect job. Yes, it is the perfect job. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I'm in the big fights. But at the same time, you know, it's hard work also. You know, you prepare. We get emails to prepare about, you know, I'm already preparing for the next one.
Yeah.
And so on. And, yeah, a lot of homework yesterday. I was just studying. You know, you got to watch videos. Certain things that fighters do, you got to write them down so you can talk about that. You can't just go in there raw and not know exactly who you're talking about. You don't want to sound stupid. You know, you want to know exactly who you're talking about. Like you mentioned, it's not just one fight. There's many fighters. Many styles, and I mean, I'm one of the many fighters that I don't watch boxing much, bro. If it's not the ones that I'm calling, I really don't watch. Or a big fight, I'm not really watching a lot of these fights. But now that I'm, you know, I'm blessed to be doing what I'm doing, the broadcasting, the commentating. I got to do my homework, man. A lot of studying, a lot of memorizing the names, the pronunciation of the names. You know, just all around, you know, just that I go and watch old videos of, you know, commentators and, you know, trying to, you know, pick up certain things from them as well. So that's what it is, man. I'm new to this. I'm the rookie. I'm, you know, right next to these two monsters like Al Bernstein and Mauro Ranallo. I mean, two great guys that have been helping me, you know, get Brian Custer as well, you know, to where I am today and even more. So I want to thank them, Steven Espinosa, obviously from Showtime. You know, the whole Showtime crew. Thank you guys, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. And who better to be surrounded than, I was going to say, by Mauro and Al and, you know, Custer too. Yeah, I mean, great team. And I think you guys bring a good element to the fight.
And my producer, David Dinkins, obviously thank him so much, man. And another thing you pointed out, you know, the fact that I'm Latino, you know, I'm 100% Mexican and doing this commentary in English, you know, not in Spanish, English. My second language is not my first language. So blessed to be doing that. And like you said, motivate other Latinos, Hispanics, you know, that, you know, hey, you know, you could be part of it too. You could, you know, you could be there as well. So, you know, it's also that, you know, I have that, you know, behind me. I have to, you know, I have to show up for my people also, you know.
For sure, man. You're doing a great job. Yeah, no, salute to you. And like I said, I mean, it's a joy to watch you and to get to hear you break down fights and stuff like that. And really looking forward to the one this weekend. Other than the main event, you know, I touched on Colbert and Rayo. What's one of the other ones that you're looking forward to?
Honestly, we have a really stacked, really competitive card where, you know, talk and touch about these fights and we really don't know which way to go because I mean they're that much and that well competitive fights, you know, even matchups. The co-main, like you mentioned, Rayo Valenzuela, you know, that guy. They're both in similar situations, you know, both similar you know, both coming back from tough defeats, both young, both happen to have, you know, the defeats. But when we talk to them on the fighter meetings, they both touch about that they let everything, the fame and, you know, being undefeated get to them and they don't prepare how they needed to for each individual fight that they lost. Mm-hmm. So now that lets you know, like, yo, they're really in the crossroad type of fight. Like either you win or you back, you know, to the back of the line. So, I mean, that fight is going to be fireworks and, you know, both punchers, fighters, great boxers. So, I mean, all around good fights, man.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited about that one because, like you said, the storyline of them coming back and really at a crossroads for both, even though both are young, obviously you can come back from a loss or two, whatever. But it says a lot that they want to take on that challenge so quickly after their first pro defeat. So super interesting in that one. But it kind of transitions into another thing I wanted to ask you about, which is you know, you're cut from a certain cloth. Somebody, like I was mentioning, Raul's cut from a cloth where you guys just fought. You just fought the best. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter if you won, you lost. After an Abner Morris fight, I'm like, cool. Okay, who can Abner fight next? If you won, you lost. Then he wanted to see you again. And I think that some of that is lost with the newer generation, obviously, because it's more of a quote-unquote business. Obviously, we got Tank and Ryan. I think even you can throw Colbert and Rayo in there. I mean, these type of fights, Benavidez and Caleb, obviously, these are the type of fights that need to happen. And I don't think either guy loses, regardless of what the outcome of the fight is. I mean, what would you say to up-and-comers who, obviously, you know, you want to protect your career from a business perspective, but also you got to you know, you got to fight the best.
You know what? And I'm new to watching the sport of basketball. I just started watching basketball this year, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. I, you know, I'm a Laker fan, obviously being from LA, but I just became like a fan. Started watching, started picking up on names and teams and all that this year. And what I realized, and I was reading, is that it's similar to boxing. What's happening? A lot of these, you know, so-called superstars aren't willing to play the whole game because they want to tire each other out.
Yeah,
they want to save each other for the next game and things like that. And when you compare them to like even the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans, the Scottie Pippins, like, you know, these great, you know, they were rough. And even the perfect example, and I was so mad, the All-Star game, man, that was that was brutal to watch, bro. That was like a show exhibition, bro. Kept missing threes and like, man, I was so frustrated. They really didn't put 100. Mm-hmm. So now talking about boxing, it's the same thing. You know, boxers nowadays, they want to look pretty now. They want social media, you know, models. And like, they don't concentrate 100% to the sport. And they're more worried about what they're going to make in sponsors. And I don't blame them. The money's there. You know, you can't blame the fact that, you know, nowadays that's what pays, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, before it was the rugged looking guy, you know, that got all the fame because, you know, how he fought. Now is like the good looking kid, or the well-spoken guy, or the guy that has a storyline behind him, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's starting little by little pick up. Obviously, we could go and talk about the management, the promotions, not wanting to work one another. But it's starting to pick up. You mentioned, Ryan Garcia against Tank Davis. Obviously, big matchup. That honestly, we didn't think that was going to happen so soon, right. And I'm glad it is. Haney against
Lomachenko.
I mean, another great fight right now that's happening. Fulton against Inoue. Unfortunately, you know, that guy got pushed,
right?
Because I think Inoue got injured. Mm-hmm. You know, like you mentioned, Colbert against Ryo. So I mean, right now, I mean, it's starting to look better little by little. So people that are saying that boxing ain't is dead, definitely is not. They ain't paying close attention to the fact that, you know, it is coming back, and, you know, all these big matchups are you know, are coming up and coming through.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a funny statement that I think I'll say casuals make a lot, you know, boxing is dead or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But now if you pay attention, and I hope, you know, some of this lays the groundwork for other bigger matchups that we want to see.
Exactly.
With other guys, you know, to take that jump and that test. I mean, you mentioned. And
another thing I wanted to point out, I'm sorry to interrupt, is that, you know, a lot of people giving Canelo Alvarez a hard time for taking on Ryder, you know, in this matchup. I'm like, man, like, you know, tough crowd, man. You know, this guy's coming from fighting like the top, back to back to back. And I think with a little bit of that, I blame on the fact that he lost against Vivo. You know, I don't want to 100%, like, you know, Vivo was, you know, way better than him. But, you know, this guy, you know, came from big fights, fight after fight. And, you know, the body gets tired too.
Right.
So him wanting to take on, you know, on not a pushover, because Ryder's not a, you know, a bad fighter, but, you know, wanting to please his crowd and his hometown in Guadalajara, I mean, you got to give it to him, you know, and numbers speak for itself, and speak, you know, things already sold out. So,
right. So, yeah. I mean, if anyone deserves that homecoming and against a fighter that he's picking, it's Canelo, based on those last 5-6 fights.
100%, said, I mean, 100%.
Something that we touched on this show, a couple episodes ago, man. It's like, yeah, tough crowd. It's like,
it is, this guy, man.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, the weight that he had to put on the face of Bivol.
Compare, bro, but the UFC fans to the boxing fans are way better, man.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking how it is.
Yeah.
You know, UFC fighters, they got like five, 60 feet and people still right behind them. You know, look at McGregor, look at all these other fighters, you know what I'm saying? They lose, they come back, you know, that's how it is. And in boxing, you lose, oh, you suck, you're the worst. Oh, we never want to see him fight again.
Exactly. And you know what they always say? Yo, he got exposed. He got exposed. Like, that's everyone's favorite. Man. It's like, no.
Tyson, how many times did he not lose? You know, Chavez, right. You know, all these greats. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I agree with you, man. I mean, there's a lot of good to look at, and I think people need to pay attention to that. Obviously, we can beat the drum for fights that we want to see. Yeah. Jiří Usyk is one that, you know, is having trouble getting made, but whatever. I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of that, but we got to take the bad with the good as well, and hopefully we'll see more of those big ones.
Yeah. You got Andy Ruiz and Deontay Wilder knocking on that door, so hopefully they let one of them. Either of them in, so I'll be going.
Yeah, that'll be incredible.
With Tyson Fury. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, not to keep you too much longer, I do want to wrap this up with one important question, which is,
talk to me.
If you have to pick Benavidez versus Plant, who are you taking? And I know once upon a time I've read, you know, that you're thinking Benavidez walks him down, probably beats him, but you could see Plant winning as well. If you had to pick today,
right?
Who are you picking?
You know, I really don't like to make predictions, obviously, you know, because of what I do, what I work, right. And I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm biased and I'm picking just one. So I'm going to leave that boom as it is. But okay. I do love to break down fights. I think it's going to be stylistically match up a great, you know, smart IQ type of fight. And you know, the best fighter is gonna win. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but it is exactly that. I think the smarter fighter that night is gonna be the winner. You know, not the big guy, not the tough guy, not the powerful guy, and not the guy that uses the whole ring. I mean, but the guy that, you know, is one step ahead of the other. I mean, I think that's exactly what's gonna happen. That's gonna be the winner.
All right. Well, we look forward to it, man. We look forward to hearing you on the call well, and we appreciate your time. And hopefully, we can chop it up again soon.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me on, man. Anytime.
Yeah, no problem, man. Take care.
You take care, bro.
Thank you for listening to the RBR Recap. Make sure to follow us on social media at RBR Recap and visit RBRRecap.com for the latest episodes.